141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ange Postecoglou says as things stand, Celtic are not eyeing up any more January signings. The SPFL brings back the five subs rule for Premiership matches, and Rangers chief exec Stuart Robertson says there's little chance big away allocations will return to Old Firm games. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, it's an interesting few days ahead, Gordon. The Premiership football returns next week and in front of fans. This time last week we were standing here thinking it would return, but it would only be 500. So good news in that respect. But a big card before then in the Championship. Such an interesting league this year, and it kicks off tomorrow night with Partick v Kilmarnock, but still in front of 500 fans, so looking forward to that. And the five subs rules, I think it's the right call. It allows for bigger squads with COVID restrictions. It allows managers to have plenty back up on that bench.
Yeah, there's a lot of pluses and a lot of some maybe clubs out there be looking at negatives of the five subs rules, Gordon, and I could understand the arguments. I'm for it first and foremost. I just think that the way we're going about just now, and the overload of games and everything that's put on players, I think you've got to try and protect as much as you can. I can understand clubs with smaller squads that it's a bit of a negative one for them, but good news for Celtic as well that, you know, they're talking about the transfer market. Julian back playing after the 13-month layoff. You know, we're looking forward to Monday night when it all kicks off again in front of a full house.
0141 951 1025. There's plenty of talking to be done before then, so pick up the phone please and let Mark Wilson and Gordon DL know what is on your mind, particularly some of the big stories doing the rounds today. Celtic fans, it would be interesting to hear from you on this. So Ange Postecoglou says as things stand, Celtic are not eyeing up any more January signings. As things stand, it is done. What do you make of that? Are you happy with that? I know you're happy with the work done so far. Would you be happy for it to end here, or are there still areas of the team that you want to see addressed before the end of the January window? Let us know right now. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, are you happy if this is the end of the business, or are there more areas of the pitch you want addressed before the end of January? Pick up the phone right now and let us know. The five sub rule as well, of course, always going to be interesting to get your thoughts on whether that's a good or a bad thing. Whatever it is you've got for us, please get in touch. I feel like we're getting closer. Mark Wilson, you two usually can begin the build up, if you like, to a weekend. You can kind of do it. They're on Monday night. We're a little bit far out, but we're getting there, and we're getting there with crowds as well.
Yeah, can't wait till it's back. Monday night football in front of a full house. You've got to say it'll be at Celtic Park, but we have missed it. It was a right call to bring it forward. I was on the show the night that we had Alan Burrows on, and you know, we had a good discussion about crowd restrictions. Would it go through that the winter break would be brought forward, and it's been the correct decision. We have missed our top league. We've had the Championship. You've got to say the Championship has been hugely entertaining and quite unpredictable this season to keep us entertained. But nothing really beats the top league, and I can't wait till it gets underway with some cracking games next week.
I think the most important thing for the fans, it's all about the fans. They're now back into the stadiums, which is brilliant. They'll be over the moon. The one thing about the fans will be excited to see the new players. You know, especially on Monday night, because not just Celtic have added to their squad. Sean Maloney's brought in a right few for Hibs as well. So all fans will be looking forward to see how their new signings settle in. But Mark's right. I think we've enjoyed the last week or so the lower leagues. There've been some good football. The Championship, big news, the fact that Derek McInnes went in at Kilmarnock. And it's just unfortunate that the rules aren't changing to next week, because I look at Partick Thistle Kilmarnock tomorrow night. What a cracking game that would be, and I think they'd get a huge crowd for that.
0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, let's start there, because we're definitely getting close. We're starting to get press conferences from managers again. Isn't it wonderful? Ange Postecoglou claiming the club are not interested in making any more signings this transfer window, despite being linked to various players. So what do you make of that? Are you happy if the business ends here, or are there areas of the pitch you still want to see addressed? And if so, what are they? He does admit, though, that Celtic were interested in the signing of Riley Magritte.
As we speak right now, there is no other offers or people I've spoken to. So if you, the 20 names that come out tomorrow are all lies or fabrications or people bored at home just Googling names and throwing them up there, or agents trying to get a little bit more value for their clients. So I can't be any clearer than that. The one thing I won't do is lie. So there's no one else we're talking to. There's no other offers. There's no one else I'm showing interest in as we sit here today. If that changes, I'll let you know. You can pretty much throw up any name now and pretty much lie, I've got to say. And no one says anything. So I can tell you there is no other offers out there. We haven't spoken to anyone else. Riley Magritte was somebody we had an interest in because of my association with him. And obviously I know the player very well, but, you know, he's, after initial discussions, he's decided to look elsewhere, which is fine. But we have not spoken to one other player apart from the ones we've brought in, including Johnny Kenny. So all those other names are fictitious, and like I said, I get it. There's a bit of value in associating our name with a player, but that value is with the agent probably, and with a player, not with us.
Mark, from your perspective, with your Celtic hat on, we're going to put this out to the listeners, but are you content? Are you happy if the business ends here, or were you still hopeful of more?
Probably one or two more. Well, one particular, I said a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week, was it that I still think competition for a left back for Greg Taylor, when you look at it, ball and goal, he's obviously so far out the picture. Adam Montgomery fills in there sometimes. Greg Taylor's probably the recognised left footed left back. Juranovic can obviously fill in there, but I still think you need a wee bit of balance to the team. So I thought Ange Postecoglou may have still had something up his sleeve then. But he was pretty adamant with what he was saying there about lies and things being made up. Fairly convincing that at this moment in time he's got no one on his mind. But I just wonder, near the end of the window, you know, in another week's time, you know, a game against Hibs coming up and other fixtures, if something happens in that position, maybe he'll be forced to look at
it. Don't get me wrong, I think that was the importance of saying, you know, as things stand, because obviously things, you know, can change, but I think we can take it that Celtic aren't planning any more signings at the moment. Let's bring in Ian, who is a Celtic fan. Are you happy with that, Ian? If the business ends here, if it's Johnny Kenny and the three Japanese players, are you happy or did you want more?
Well, see, to be honest with you, Gordon, hi Gordon, Mark and Gordon, happy New Year. I don't know if I said it to these guys, but anyway, I know it, but we're still in January. But
whoa, that's the last one, Ian. I think that's it.
It's nearly my birthday, mate.
You're the last one. 13th of January. No more, Ian. Carry on.
Mark, they say the happy birthday that comes, Mark.
It's not me, Ian.
And it's March, by the way. Right, stop this. We don't need to be wishing each other Happy New Year anymore.
That's the best one.
Merry Christmas. We certainly are not looking ahead to your birthday, which is it 2 months today?
I don't know what date it's on.
13th.
No, 16th.
Sorry, right, in 2 months' time. Anyway, Ian Wright, this has gone off track earlier than usual. Are you happy with the business, or would you like to have seen more done?
In a way, he's got everybody back fit again. Jota's training again. If he ties up Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers, which I think the price for the two of them combined is some in the region of £13 million. The prices that I've heard, Mark, you might be able to verify it for me. I think it's a great bit of business. The boy, John, is it John Joe Kenny or Johnny Kenny?
Johnny Kenny, yeah. John Joe Kenny was last year's
version. Don't want John Joe Kenny.
John Joe Kenny was the one that was at left back or right back.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right? The boy Kenny from Sligo Rovers, 19 years. Good bit of business with that young boy, because I think he was on the verge of signing for Hibs. As I say, the business has been great in my eyes, because I think it's the first transfer window, and I'll say it to Mark, it's the first window in January that we've done my business very, very early.
Yeah, it's the first, well, yeah, the first time in a long time I can remember things being put into place so early. But I thought it was necessary, to be honest. Ange Postecoglou coming in, you know, he had a bit of a shell of a squad. He was always kind of fighting fires, putting things into place, trying to get right formation. So he always had ideas of what he wanted. And to be fair, he's been backed straight away to get that business done in the first week of January. Obviously, the break came at the right time where you can actually put all your concentration into getting those deals over the line rather than concentrating on match preparation. So it looks good on paper. It certainly does. It looks what Celtic needed. They needed refresh. They needed players that Ange Postecoglou knew and who he thinks he can trust. But it'll only be proved correct when the games come around and these players actually play. And it may take a while. We always say it on the show. Players come to a different country and a different culture sometimes take time. Kyogo is the obvious one that stands out that didn't take any time. And I think the Celtic fans are just praying that the other three are the same. And Johnny Kenny, he's one for the future, but his stats add up with what he's done so far in the game and the goals he's scored. So if it's back up in that area, which Celtic needed a couple of weeks ago, then they look like they've got it in the young striker as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because obviously Maeda's an attacking player, and I assume that as time goes on, Jackie Mackis just gets back nearer.
You would think
fitness.
So, yeah.
Right, Gordon, same question to you. You don't have a vested interest quite the same. Would you have expected Celtic's business to end here? Are there other areas that you thought might have been addressed this window?
Like Mark, I thought the first area would have been round about a left back, but I think they've got enough, Gordon. I think the transfer business is done, unless he gets one or two off the books, which I think is needed at Celtic. I'm sure that the manager knows that. If that's the case and someone comes along that just catches his eye, then fine. But if he goes into the season, which he looks like he's got to do now on Monday, and it continues through to the January window's closed with that squad, he's got plenty. Now, the left back position, I said at the top of the show, Christopher Julian back playing now. Mm. That gives him another centre back, whether you like him or don't. Sometimes I look at him, I think he's a fantastic player. Then you think, oh, there's one or two mistakes, but he's been out for a lengthy time, 13 months with that injury. But that's a boost as well, another centre half, another option. I think they've got plenty. Scales can play left back. Taylor, he's given Taylor a long-term contract. Juranovic can go over there. Ralston's a top of form.
You just said you would have signed one.
I thought they was going to sign one at the beginning, but I can understand now that everybody coming into the squad, I think they'll have enough.
Very on the fence.
Sounds, a load of nonsense.
See, well, you would have signed one, but they've got enough.
See, I think they've got enough players to rotate the squad, Gordon. Okay. I don't think it's, oh, hold
desperate.
On a minute.
Yeah,
desperate. That's what I'm trying to get points over here.
And I guess Ian makes a fair point. If the Japanese trio, as they become known, and Johnny Kenny, if then Jota and Carter Vickers become permanent, then of course that seems like a busy window. I'm just asking the question. Fans are allowed to be greedy. You know, it's not a suggestion that Celtic haven't done anything. It's just,
yeah, but I think overall, from when Ange Postecoglou came in to January 13th, he has brought a fair, you know, squad of players in, but it was needed. And this little refresh, if you want to call it that, is exactly what the squad needed for the second half of the season.
Thanks, Ian. Nice to hear from you. Let's bring in Del, who's a Celtic fan from Motherwell. Same question to you, Del. Would you have done anything else this window, or happy to leave it there?
Very, very happy with the window so far, considering where we were at the start of the season. Realistically, looking at the squad now, from top to bottom, for a few months ago, it's I think we're in a phenomenal position, to be honest with you. I agree with what the guys were saying earlier. I think a bit of cover at the back, and I would also have liked to have seen another goalkeeper coming in for backup to Joe Hart.
That's an interesting one. I wonder, Mark, again, because this is all about, you know, as things stand, can you get someone, can you find someone, anyone, who wants to take Barkas off your hands? And if so, does that then change things in that position?
I think that would be the only way that Ange Postecoglou would possibly even look at bringing a goalkeeper in. I don't think you can bring another goalkeeper in when you've got Hart, Bain, Barkas and the rest that are there. So you need to shift at least one of them before you think about backup. Bain is obviously the backup to heart just now. Some Celtic fans have very split opinions on him. But there's one thing for sure, Celtic look a much better and steadier team with Joe Hart on the side, and Ange Postecoglou will be hoping that nothing happens to him in the second half of the season, because I think he's made a real difference, not in terms of the, not just in terms of the saves he makes, but I think the influence he has on that backline.
To what level is Scott Bain an able deputy? If the worst does come to the worst, Joe Hart faces a spell out and there are big games. Well, in fact, I'll put that to Dell instead, and then you can give me your thoughts. How confident would you be, Dell? Is that what you're looking for? Are you looking for someone to be a closer backup to Joe Hart, so to speak?
Yeah, I think so. I think, as Mark said, I think it's very, very split with Celtic fans on Bain. I think he's a decent enough goalkeeper. Nowhere near the standard of Joe Hart. That's why I would like to see him kind of moving on, and Barkas as well. But I seen something the other day. I think for the Colts squad to the first team, we've got 7 goalkeepers or something. So
yeah,
we definitely need to move a couple on before we could bring somebody else in.
Gordon, is that a fair shout if you were looking at things Celtic could do between now and the end of the window, goalkeeper?
I'm with Mark. I think they need to move one on before they bring a goalkeeper in. But it's very
in an ideal world, then, though, right, would you?
I think it's going to be difficult, Gordon, because Joe Hart is your number one goalkeeper, and goalkeepers out there, it's not like you've got an opportunity to fight for 10 other positions. It's one position. Joe Hart's playing and fit. He plays every week. You come in there as a backup, you sit and you maybe play an odd cup game.
Yeah, but there must be
loads.
There are loads of teams out there that fans of that team go, oh, do you know what? See, if our number one's injured, I'm really confident in our number two. I'm not saying he's as good as the number one, but do you know what? He'll do for me. We've seen it with Rangers in the last few seasons. John McLaughlin plays a lot of games.
I think Scott Bain's capable of, if Joe Hart, from now to the end of the season, if Joe Hart gets injured, I think Scott Bain's capable of stepping into his shoes, yeah. I don't know if he's the same shoe size, but he's
the gloves would have been a better.
Okay. He's better than his big gloves. Yeah.
I've said loads of times on here that I like Scott Bain. I don't think he's as commanding as Joe Hart, or when you compare him to Fraser Foster or some of the things that Craig Gordon did, I don't think he stacks up to that level. But I think he's an able number two for a prolonged period of time. If Joe Hart was injured or whatever happens, then you would always want, I think, stiffer competition for Bain, if that makes any sense, than Barkas. You've seen with COVID regulations when Barkas came from nowhere. Now, he didn't have much to do against St Johnson, but if something like that cropped up, then...
But it shows you, Mark, if he can't get Barkas out the door and loan or sell or whatever it may be, then if it crops up, he's prepared to use him. And you say there about St Johnson...
Say prepared, though. At what point are you prepared and... When does that cross the line into he had to, he had no other choice?
Yeah, and let me just say that I'm not saying he's the best goalkeeper in the world, I'm not a great fan, but he never let Celtic down that day. They got away with that no problem. He handled every bit of pressure that he got put under. I thought he actually had a very good game, Barkas. But I think Bain,
why'd you say it in that high pitched voice?
I don't know, but I think Bain is well capable of stepping into that area.
Some interesting points well made, Dell. Thank you. That was Dell in Motherwell. 01419511025. Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you're hearing? Why not tell us right now? Good time to call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 on the phones or at Clyde SSB on Twitter. We were hearing from Ange Postecoglou, says Celtic are not interested in any more signings at the moment, despite all the links to other players that you're seeing out there on social media. So it's a simple question, Celtic fans, happy with that? Is that okay? Is that good news? Or is there still some business you'd like to see tied up? Really keen to get your thoughts on this 5 subs rule. It's been brought back, and it's a pretty easy debate, isn't it? You either think that's a good idea or a bad idea, and we don't agree on much in this part of the footballing world. So make sure you share your thoughts. You can tweet at Clyde SSB. The previous caller wanted a new goalkeeper, a backup goalkeeper signed for Celtic. Gary Kirkwood says the biggest difference between Hart and our backup goalies is experience and leadership. He gives the defence the confidence of having him behind them. He's head and shoulders above the other keepers. Oh. Wasted it. It was actually, that was going so well.
Don't mind that. That's all right.
That's a Roger Hanna.
That's all right. I like that.
That's a Roger Hanna chuckle. He likes
it. It makes a good point and then adds in a wee bit of fun at the end.
Right, okay. Yeah. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou speaking today. We've not heard from many of the top flight managers, obviously, over the break. He's confirming Jota has returned to training and could be available within the next few weeks. 8 goals this season, very popular with the Celtic fans, but he's been out with that hamstring injury since the start of December.
Yeah, it's good to have him back. Like I said, he's one of the ones who obviously, you know, was out sort of medium to long term, but he's rehabbed really well and joined in training today. He's been training, but joining in sort of team training. And yeah, we'll see. He won't be far off. If it's not Monday, we expect him sort of over the next couple of weeks to be available. And yeah, like I said, he's rehabbed really well and he feels pretty good. Yeah, they'll chug along in the background, but nothing significant's happened. I don't think anything significant will happen in the short term. Our main focus is to get him back playing and playing well and, you know, hopefully having a big second half of the year. He started really well for us and obviously had the injury setback. So just great to get him back on the field and performing. And, you know, in terms of beyond this year, that'll take care of itself at the appropriate time.
Twitter was awash with people in the last few days, Mark, saying that him signing a permanent deal was imminent. Ange Postecoglou says it's not. Mm. Is it maybe it is, and he's trying to build up a bit of suspense, or you take the man at face value, no reason to disbelieve it. And people have gone a bit early on that one.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I think so, but I think it's because they want it to happen so much, the Celtic fans. They know a deal is there to be done, it makes sense in all parties, but sometimes these things just take a wee bit longer. And I suppose Ange Postecoglou's really got no reason to lie. He's a massive player in the first half of the season, and it's what Ange Postecoglou was saying there about him returning to fitness is a huge bonus for Celtic, saying if it's not Monday it'll be in the next couple of weeks. So I think we can assume it won't be Monday, it'll be a couple of weeks. You have to take your time, but there's no doubt about it, it'll be a huge player for Celtic in the second half of the season. So they got to get that injury right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good boost for Postecoglou and Celtic. He's been terrific, Gordon, fans' favourite. They were desperate to get him signed up long term. I do believe that could happen. I think it will happen. But Mark's right. In the transfer world now, it's not just a case of and you come sign a contract and have a good career. It takes a long, long time. There's a lot of things to be settled behind the scenes. And it'd be really a booster for Celtic if they could tie him in doubt. Also, Carter Vickers that Celtic mm-hmm. fans are desperate for as well.
Yeah. Let's bring in Gary, who's a Celtic fan from Ibrox. Gary, the transfer business, if that's it done, are you happy, content, good to go for the second half of the season?
Delighted, and I just had to say Happy New Year, and it's going to be a good year for Celtic. We start off by beating Hibs, then Hearts, then Rangers, and it'll shut up that Hugh Keevans, because he's romancing if he thinks Rangers are going to go undefeated this season.
I'm going to go all out on a limb and say that you don't think Rangers will go unbeaten like Hugh does.
Absolutely. Celtic are a different kettle of fish this year altogether.
That wouldn't... I don't like to defend Hugh lightly. It makes me feel a bit uneasy. I'd much prefer to sort of wind him up. But see, when you hear his reasoning, I get it. I have no idea if Rangers will go undefeated. But this is a team that's lost one league game in 58, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So to say that they will then go on to lose none in 19, listen, it might not happen and it might be bust within a couple of weeks. I'm not sure it's as controversial a statement as people are making it out to be when you consider those numbers. Like I said, that this is a team that's lost once in 58. So to lose none in 19... It might be wrong. Most of his predictions are wrong. Is it that outrageous?
No, I don't think it. This ex-Celtic man standing to my right made the same prediction last year? I think it's going to be very difficult, Gordon. But you're talking about a team that's 6 points at the top of the league. They've got a really powerful squad. As you say there, the stats back that up. Sometimes as you know, like see Hugh and ourselves, we make predictions. We're here to be shot down. We're here to get it wrong. Of course we do. But me personally, I think that's a massive ask, because I do think that Celtic are very strong now. It'll be interesting to see how these new signings blend in. But I also think Rangers may come out the transfer window stronger as well.
I'm never going to have a problem with any fan base being confident, Mark. I think everybody should just have a belief in their team. And you would understand why Celtic fans like Gary would think, well, we can. Gary's stretching it to will. But certainly, you know, well, we can. We can win the game when we meet in a few weeks' time. I don't think there's much wrong with that, is there?
No, of course not. Like the way Celtic played in the 6 months previous, entertaining, exciting. Still some problems there, of course. You see that with the games at the Voss so far this season. But there's confidence there because the squad's been boosted and it looks like exciting signings. So, of course, fans will be confident that they can win these games coming up, and they're important games coming up right off the bat. But I think Rangers will lose a game or two in the second half, but also think Celtic will lose a game or two. And it's whoever minimises those defeats will ultimately prove to be the champion. So I think we're in for a top end of the season because the competition, we see the signings being made elsewhere. I mean, Hibs game coming up Monday. Sean Maloney, new manager, had time to work with his team, new signings. That's a tough game for Celtic right away.
Yeah, Gary, there is quite a lot to get through. Before that, you mentioned it, you know, Hearts and Hibs before that Rangers game. You don't see problems in any of them, you win them all?
No, I do see problems, but the biggest problem is staying clear of losing. As long as you don't lose, you're doing okay.
Yeah, I guess.
If you don't lose, you're doing fantastically well. Never mind, okay.
It's easy to get distracted, and I don't think we need to apologise for it. It's a showpiece game in this city. But a lot really could change before then. I feel like people possibly are falling into a trap of saying, okay, it's 6 points just now, and if Celtic win, they'll cut it to three. If Rangers win, it'll go to nine. But when you look at the fixtures before that, could Rangers drop points at Pittodrie? Obviously. Could Celtic drop points against Hearts and or Hibs? You would have to suggest so.
It's a possibility. Do I think that will happen? No.
Do you think they'll both go?
I think that, yeah, I think
so. This gap will be as it is
when they meet each other. Yeah, I think they both of them will hit the ground running gone. I really do. I think they're good quality players and quality squads. I know that Mark's saying about Sean Maloney going there. If it's Easter Road, better opportunity. It's at Celtic Park, plus the fact the fans are back, the excitement, the atmosphere. Same at Pittodrie, we know what like it is up there. I think Rangers have got the players to go and handle that. So I do think it will go to when they both the teams meet. I think the gap will still be that six, and I think that's going to be the most important game of the season for me.
You have to say, I mean, he may well be right, Mark, but they are fantastic fixtures even before that. If you were to, yeah, Gordon may well have his prediction right, but if you were to hand pick some games that might cause these sides problems out with each other, surely Pittodrie would be one of them. Yeah. Aberdeen and Rangers have had some very interesting battles in recent seasons. I mean, Hearts obviously beat Celtic in the opening day,
of course.
That one at Tynecastle, and you know, Hibs, well, it's maybe a bit of an unknown because the Sean Maloney factor. What stamp has he put on things? Some new signings. Will Martin Boyle be there? Will he play?
Exactly. There's so many factors to take into consideration before the teams meet early in February. And I think both managers will be well aware of those challenges. I don't think they'll be looking too far ahead. The old cliche, one game at a time. Now, I know teams take games in kind of blocks and they predict how many points you want out of certain blocks. But I think when you've got, if you're Postecoglou and you've got Rangers on the horizon in a couple of weeks' time with these big games, you really do have to take them one game at a time and tick them off until you get there. And just hope that the games that Rangers play are problematic as well, and perhaps he dropped points even before then.
I think the two big hurdles, if you look before these games, Gordon, the reason I'm saying I think it still will be six, if I was Rangers and I was looking at the fixture list, I'd probably look at the first game back, Aberdeen, right? But Aberdeen's form this season has been really, really poor, right? So I think Rangers have got enough.
They're sort of on the up now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're playing against a Rangers team that's going for a title, right?
You sometimes hear, I'm not suggesting they're that means I think they're going to beat Rangers. But you're saying that their form's really poor. Surely it's only fair to acknowledge that they're getting better.
I'm looking where I think the hurdle could come before the Celtic Rangers game. So everybody'd look at, oh, first game back, they've not played for a few weeks. Aberdeen at Pittodrie, always difficult. I think Rangers have got enough to handle that. If I look at Celtic, where their problems could come from, everybody talks about Tynecastle. How difficult is Tynecastle? Hearts, full house there with their supporters. Mark will tell you, it's always been one of those places to go. You've really got to dig in and grind out a result. So my two games looking for either team is Aberdeen away and Hearts away. And I think Rangers Celtic have got enough.
Gary, if you were to be greedy, if there was to be something else you would like to see done in the January window, what would it be?
Defence.
Central defence, left back.
Left back.
Everyone keeps saying that. But yeah. Gordon puts up a fair point. Whether, you know, Ange Postecoglou clearly likes Greg Taylor. He's clearly comfortable at the Juranovic situation because it allows you to get Anthony Ralston into the team. And then there's Liam Scales.
Scales, yeah. I must admit, I did forget about Scales.
Yeah.
You were going to pull me up.
You gave me a nod of appreciation. I quite liked that.
Talk to me about the Greg Taylor situation then. I wonder if a lot of this comes from a lack of faith in him from the Celtic fans. And I wonder if it's fair. Or I wonder if people have been setting their ways on that, because the old Greg Taylor, or the old Celtic, would have required Greg Taylor to do what Kieran Tierney used to do and bomb down the line and maybe get past fullbacks, you know, whip crosses in, and that was always going to be big shoes to fill. Getting asked to do a completely different job now, and I wonder if that does that suit more, and should people be more willing to shake off the preconception about
I still think, and I always have done, thought that Greg Taylor gets a particularly hard time for no real standout reason. I think every time he's come into the team, he's done fine. Now, I wouldn't say he's outstanding, but that probably comes from Kieran Tierney before him and seeing what he actually gave to the team. And it was quite extraordinary, and you get the transfer fee to match it. But I think this new role that Ange Postecoglou's got his fullbacks playing takes time to bed in. I think Greg Taylor, when he's played it, looks fine. I think even in the cup final, when he was asked to go in there and play, and one time he picks the ball up in the, you know, the right hand side and cuts in and has a shot, I think he's adapting more to it. So Postecoglou's obviously got faith in him, and he's got players there for backup. But I still think the fans want somebody that stand out, and I don't know if Ange Postecoglou will go back into the market for it.
Thanks, Gary. 0141 951 1025. It's a great time to call. You could be up next. What about this 5 substitutions rule? It used to be in place, we then ditched it, it's now been brought back. Are you in favour of teams being allowed to make 5 subs, or are you against it? Now is a great time to share those thoughts.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can get your calls in. We're going to talk. What's happening here? Producer Callum's interrupting. He doesn't usually do this.
That's the door closed.
This is strange. He's made me lose my train of thought. How unprofessional of him. We're talking about 5 subs. So if you're in favour of it, you're against it, you've got any thoughts, give us your opinions. The SPFL has brought it back. Oh, this is mail.
Aye, we don't care about the 5 subs. What is that?
It's a package, but it's, I don't know if he thinks it's for me. It's Gordon DL. Someone has sent you mail. That never happens. Someone has sent you. thing is, that's not, it's not like this is a stitch up, because
that's not my address.
That's the address for here.
I'm only kidding.
Why have you, why is it
a proper Royal Mail?
As I wind up.
Well, someone's obviously sent you. It's a Royal. Look,
somebody's actually paid for that.
Legitimate Royal Mail.
Yeah. What is it?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what's going to happen here. You actually think I'm going to open that?
I have no idea. Seriously? I don't know what's going to happen here.
Your name's on it. Get it on.
Take it if you want. But hold on, I'm always nervous because I don't know. It could be anthrax.
Let's hope it's not. That would be a bit of dampener on the show.
Whatever it is, hold it up to the camera.
It's a big thing.
Is it just going to be something boring? Like a, it looks like a tie box.
What is that?
What is that?
Hurry up.
It looks like a swimming
cap.
I'll
tell you what, there are two
pairs. What is it?
A pair of, a pair of pants.
What's that? What is that?
Oh, they're a medium. I'm an XL.
What is it? What does it say on the label?
They're not active fit pants. It's a nappy. Nappy pants. Why is somebody sending you nappy pants?
That's right, yeah, you can get a fair load out of that. Look at the size of their babies.
Let me see there.
They're thick.
I don't nappies.
Hold them up to that.
What is somebody?
Let me see.
Why is somebody?
I bet they've sent me two pair.
They've sent you a large. They know your size.
Ten of men active fit pants.
What do you?
When you have an accident in your pants, then you continue on your day because you're safe.
They actually go with my outfit.
Why is somebody? Is there a letter in there? Is there anything in there?
Oh, no, I don't.
It says free sample. Ten of men active fit pants, large.
They've got some bit of the bottom by
have
then.
Have I missed a joke on Tuesday or something?
Honestly,
why is someone sending
no
you that?
No idea.
You could get a fair amount in there. I don't even
see
like
that when you've got when you're watching a box set and you watch. Famously watch it's every so episode in the one. You don't even need to get a stick a pair of them. A 12 hour stint. You don't need to move.
Have you said
a big curry?
I don't get it though. Usually it's like in response, like so when you needed a new phone cover, someone sent you a new phone cover.
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah, I said I want a
what's the context?
So I could sit in a recliner and
I think it's more for when it's involuntary. You know, like if you can control so, it, I don't think it's
people actually driving listening to this.
Well, I mean, the gauge for how good they are, they've got
five stars,
seven teardrops, and it gets five and a half teardrops. So they're strong stuff.
My limited knowledge of these things, that sounds absorbent.
They're actually horrible.
They sound extremely absorbent.
They're actually horrible. Amazing. To touch. Do you know that? They're disgusting. That's ain't clean.
Right, anyway.
Only you.
Imagine somebody
sent them.
But someone's
full.
Paid to post it. Like, I as I said, I held it up. That's a proper.
I thought it was some golf or something. I was all excited.
Anyway, right. Alan's hanging on the line, wondering what on earth's going on. Let's be serious. Game face. The SPFL has brought back the five subs rule. Stop it. Put them away.
Game face. Can we get our game
I'm turning face your mic off. I'm turning your mic off. It's to help teams cope with the impact of COVID on the squads. The increase from the current three per game rule that we're used to. 75% of top flight clubs were in favour of the change, and it will take effect when we return from the winter break on Monday. So Celtic, Hibs, they can make five subs to support player welfare, assist with the congested fixture schedule. Allen's in Ridley. Are you in favour of that move or not, Alan?
Not at all. I think you should leave it the way it is. Three subs. It's getting to the point now that they're going to... I can just see it going like more like American football. We're going to bring a special team on for a free kick. And then it's just and too many interruptions and... the only way I could say maybe say it would work if you were to say if you were bringing five subs on, two of the subs had to be like under 21s or part of the backups.
Yeah, kind of youth academy or something.
Something like that. That's the only way I could see. But give the youngsters a chance. But as for five subs, sometimes when you're 11 against 10, it might not be the best idea. If your team's doing it, then maybe you can see your team trying a bit harder on that. Leave things the way they are.
That's
not broken, so don't try and fix something that's not broken.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of sense in what you're saying, Alan. I guess the 75% of clubs probably feel that whilst it might not be broken, the impact of COVID is meaning that it's kind of broken or it's moving towards broken because players are more tired. You might be having threadbare squads, whatever it is, players coming back. Does that not sway your opinion at all?
I can understand, as I says to the producer, I can understand it being in the times of COVID now. So maybe if we're going to have to live with COVID, so I don't see fat subs being the answer.
Yeah.
Unless I say bring to the youth academy, to it's going to give youth a chance. But apart from that, no, I don't see it because some clubs have no got is
yeah, the biggest squads. You two said earlier you were in favour of this. Does Alan not make a fair point?
No,
at what point does it become sort of farcical or
I said I could understand. I could understand the clubs that obviously voted for Gordon. I don't know if I'm 100% in favour of it. I think it does give a bit of advantage to the bigger clubs and the bigger squads. You say there about, you know, COVID and things. You go back to St Mirren not that long ago when they had to bring in players just to fill the bench. They couldn't put five subs on. They're playing against maybe a team that's got a big squad that's obviously got a full advantage. Yeah, I'll go with the arguments that you've got to protect the players and overload of work. But that's why these clubs have got the bigger squads. So I see both sides of it. Let me say that I'm on the fence with this one. I don't know what Mark's opinion is.
What do you mean you're on the fence? You said you agreed with it in the
opening
bit of the show.
No, I didn't. I agree with it.
I says I could understand the clubs.
You says I'm for it. I remember.
Yeah, actually, you know what he did as well. And I'm glad those cameras on. He put his hand on his heart as if to say, I'm all for this. That's what you did.
I did.
You touched your chest with an open palm and you held your other hand up and says, I must say, I'm all for this.
Like you're in a court.
Play it back.
Yeah. I was trying to get them on.
Anyway, look, I'm for it with my hand on my chest. I think with the games coming up, and, you know, it's a fairly congested fixture card. I get the point that the smaller clubs may not be able to fill those nine subs, but I think when there's an opportunity there to ease the load on the players who are actually playing and the opportunity can be put in place, yeah, I think it's the right call. In terms of under 21 rule that Alan was saying, I remember when it had to be under 21s on the bench. Was it under 21s here? Under 21s had to take place on the bench, and there was it was often a feeling that they were just there to make up the numbers, and I think
hadn't earned it.
Yeah, I think it hindered some of these young players who thought they had made it and thought, I'm on the first team bench, had no chance of playing. And when you look at probably the records, a lot of them fell away. So I don't agree with that. I get what he's saying, give youth a chance, but I think there's better ways of including youth than token gestures of them having to be put on the pitch just to tick a box. But I think five subs suits us for the second half of the season. I think all teams will benefit in the long run.
Interesting to note that it was 75%. Alan Burrows, Motherwell chief executive, as he likes to do, always very open and honest with his fan base, went onto Twitter and said, for what it's worth, Motherwell did not vote for this change. He felt altering the parameters of subs halfway through a season was something he didn't think was right. But also now having the possibility, albeit he accepts very unlikely, of there being 14 subs in a single game, because you've got your five each, and then is it a concussion sub or whatever they call it, you know, one in each half, I think you're allowed.
And in terms of making the substitutions, I wonder, did it have to be made within?
Well, last time it was three stoppages. Yeah, that was the last time I would assume.
Because in terms of what Alan Burrows is saying there, you can see if it's five subs each, stoppages for every subs, it becomes a bit of a farce. You know, it will be there all night.
Do you know what I'm always a little bit torn on? Because you hear it that this quite simply favours teams with bigger squads, and people say, you know, what are you doing? Why are you signing up for that? You know, you're holding Celtic to 0-0, and then you look to the bench and they bring on Jota and Kyogo, you know, whatever the case may be. But I'd imagine that clubs, it's all relative, isn't it? Clubs just think, well, they always hear our season won't be defined against Celtic or Rangers, and if you are, albeit Motherwell didn't want to, so if you're St Mirren against St Johnstone, you think, well, we would just quite like the opportunity to keep the squad fresh if they're struggling. Is that, or does it, or is it a, is it stacked in favour of the big squads? And if that's the case, why do the smaller clubs vote for it?
Well, if I'm honest, if I'm thinking it as a manager, if I've got the opportunity to make five subs, I would welcome it.
So you're not really just worrying about the opposition?
No, I don't think you can get bogged down worrying about the opposition. You as a manager have got really one objective, and that's to concentrate in your squad and getting the best out of your squad. I think if you've got five changes, then you take it. Now, nobody's saying you need to make those five changes, but if your team's having an absolute nightmare of a game, at least you've got the opportunity to actually make a real change to your team, rather than just hope three guys may come on and change a game. You've actually got five players there to choose from. And it's how you select your bench, how you select your nine subs as well, gives managers an opportunity.
You make a fair point, Alan, but they're not having it. Hopefully we'll speak soon.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, beat the pundit time. Your chance to get one over on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. If you give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7 o'clock. I think we had a win for Halliday last night. Good game last night. Good standard of 5-4. What? You weren't here last night?
Tuesday.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I'll tell you about I'll tell you about his performance on Tuesday next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Gordon DL had a little outfit change, wardrobe change during the break. You're going to test them out, going to see if they work for us live on air.
I never thought my career would get to this low. Well, obviously low if I feel lame.
Well, this can't, this isn't more than getting hounded out of Inverness and getting a police escort away. No,
certainly not. By the way, he actually says to me, put them on and see if it comes through your trousers. Yeah.
Go and test them. Somebody's went to the effort of sending you
them. See how absorbent they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay.
For anyone who's confused and is just joining us, we received mail into the studio. It was proper postal setup sent to Gordon DL, and it was ten of men nappies and something like that. Yeah, I think the less said about that, the better. Let's go on to this.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football.
Right, beat the pundit time. We have to give him his moment, Mark Wilson. So you didn't hear him on Tuesday night?
No, Danny, I missed it, unfortunately.
Come on.
He answered 7 questions.
Yeah.
And got 7 correct.
No, no way.
Hold on.
It was unbelievable. So the time ran out. We then said, okay, let's go. Gave him the 8th, got it right. Gave him the 9th, got it right.
Really?
And he blew it on the 10th question. But 7 out of 7 live on air.
That's impressive.
From the guy who thought Dubai was in the United States of the Arabs.
That is impressive.
I think they belong to wee James that played me on Tuesday night. I think they're his.
What did James get?
I think you're about 2 or something.
I think it was.
That's good. Well done. Aye.
Anyway, let's bring in Alan and Blantyre. Alan, what's your point? Oh, I was going to say, what's your point? His point is to play Beat the Pundit. That's why. You get into autopilot sometimes on this show. Are you feeling confident, Alan? Have you ever played before?
I've never played before, Gordon, right? But, to be fair, I was wanting to play Gordon, and then I remembered how you played Tuesday night, and I'm a bit intimidated now.
See, they're starting to run scared of you.
Yeah, it's okay, we've got the equipment in here for you, mate, if it all goes wrong.
Heads, it's Mark Wilson, no tails, it will be Gordon DL again. It's heads this time, it's Mark Wilson up against... say that again, Alan.
Gordon can pass Blantyre with the ball.
That's true. You could.
Leave your address and everything. I'll pop in. You know, I'm not busy tonight. Don't worry about it.
An extra package for you there as well. You could drop off the goods that you've been sent in. You could donate them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Alan. If you win, I will drop you them off.
Assigned.
Well.
Yeah, man.
By the way, can we do that?
Assign nappy.
Why not?
This show really has had a low.
I'll not be a full signature.
I think we should throw that in.
Assign nappy.
So the signed ball and the signed.
I will sign that box and send it to Alan.
Alan, I'm going to lose on purpose now, so you get this.
Right, okay. Let's give Mark Wilson some Clyde 2 to listen to so that he doesn't steal Alan's answers. Alan, 30 seconds. Answer as many questions as you can. And if you don't know, just pass quickly and move on, all right?
Thank you.
Let's go. 30 seconds start now. Who will Rangers play in the next round of the Europa League?
Pass.
Name any current Celtic player who's been with the club for 10 seasons or more.
Callum McGregor.
Hibs recently rejected a £2 million bid for Martin Boyle from which country?
Saudi Arabia.
David Marshall recently signed for which English Championship side?
QPR.
Kasper Schmeichel and Tim Krul both spent time on loan at which Scottish team? Which Italian side does Aaron Hickey play for?
Bologna.
Who is the top scoring Scotsman in the English Premiership so far this season?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I liked his style. Yep.
He sounded lively.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Who will Rangers play in the next round of the Europa League?
Borussia Dortmund.
Name any current Celtic player who's been with the club for 10 seasons or more.
Cal McGregor.
Hibs recently rejected a £2 million bid for Martin Boyle from a club in which country?
Saudi Arabia.
David Marshall recently signed for which
QPR.
English Championship side? Kasper Schmeichel and Tim Krul both spent time on loan at which Scottish
Falkirk.
Team? Which Italian side does Aaron Hickey play for?
Bologna.
Who is the top scoring Scotsman in the English Premier League this season?
Pass. Who was that?
What's the verdict, Alan?
Pass.
I like both of you were going really quick, you know, just getting the answers fired out, which you should. First question though, Alan didn't get it, Mark did. Borussia Dortmund. Then Alan found his rhythm. Callum McGregor, 10 seasons or more. James Forrest and Tom Rogic. Saudi Arabia. No, Callum's shaking his head because Alan said Martin Boyle because he thought that was going to be the question, and then when he heard the full question, he said Saudi Arabia. I'm just giving him it.
What do you mean you're just giving him it? Martin Boyle's not a country.
Nah, I'm giving
United States of Arab.
I didn't say that. That was
okay, Alan. You're no one in anyway. Just
David Marshall signed for QPR. You both got it. Mark stays one in front. QPR. I said that. Sorry, Falkirk was Kasper Schmeichel and Tim Krul. You both got it. Mark stays one in front. Aaron Hickey plays for Bologna. Both got it. Mark stays one in front. The top scoring Scotsman.
I'm going to go McGinn and McTominay.
No,
I can't think of any other Scotsmans.
Shane McAdams.
Oh,
really? Has he? No, I wouldn't have got that. Don't tell me Alan got that.
He didn't. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A 6-5 or 4. A 6-5 victory for Mark Wilson. Well done. Hard lines, Alan.
Listen, I enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Mark.
We enjoyed having you on, Alan. We enjoyed having you on.
And it means we don't need to give that away as a prize.
I don't think anybody wanted that.
And I don't need to go to Blantyre, which is a bonus as well.
Enjoyed that. Good standard.
That was good standard.
Yeah, just the better man won.
Were the questions easy?
Yeah, I thought
No.
I thought the questions were good questions, Cal.
Yeah, pretty good. Varied. Can't believe he didn't get Borussia Dortmund though. Where's he been living?
Celtic fan, just not interested.
I just got it.
I just got it. I was panicking. Because you're right, if I get the first one wrong, I'm snookered. Start sweating.
You need two of them.
A piece on if I get the first one wrong. Aye. Good victory. Back to winning ways after last week.
Kenny says on Twitter, who is Shane McAdams? I don't actually think that's his name. It was just a wee joke. Granted, Kenny, it wasn't a very funny joke. I do hold my hands up to that. It was just a nod to him being an adopted Scot.
People on Twitter. So serious.
Anyway, Alan is in Falkirk. We're talking about the five subs, Alan. Is that something you are in favour of or not?
Yes. Like the panel. Well, Gordon kind of changed his mind. But no, I think it's a good thing, especially with COVID, players getting COVID. But as I say to your producer, it was Alan Burrows who comes on your show and makes a lot of good points. You were saying, he was on Twitter saying that Motherwell voted against that because they shouldn't be changing rules halfway through the season. Did Motherwell no vote for the winter shutdown to get moved halfway through the season? So
is that the same as changing rules?
Well, it was saying that the winter shutdown was from A to B and it got changed. I came on before Christmas and made my point. I didn't think it should happen as a Rangers fan. And there's a bit of a cynic in me with the First Minister, who I personally think is against football. Are we getting close to the Six Nations that we're getting fans back in?
Yeah, I've seen that theory, to be fair. With hindsight, Alan, has it worked on a footballing perspective, though? Whether you think it's for the Six Nations or not, the 10 teams who voted for it did it to try and get fans back in after the winter break, and that'll now happen. With the benefit of hindsight, which I appreciate, is great. You didn't have it at the time. Has it worked? Are you happy the way it's panned out?
It's worked for getting the fans in. Yes, it has.
Fair enough. Alan's in favour of the five subs. He thinks that Motherwell, who are not in favour of the five subs, is a bit contradictory because they wanted to move the winter break. Are those comparable?
No, I don't agree with that. There was always going to be a 2 week winter break, and I thought it was common sense because it's obviously, well, it's been proven to be right, the fact that the fans are getting back. So it was a good decision to make, Gordon. The five subs were changed. That is a rule change. There's arguments for and against it. Mark makes good points as well about, you know, if he was at the lower clubs, they could get five substitutes on and try and change a game, gives the squad a better chance. We know that the top clubs are overloaded with games and whatever. I'm in the middle of it. I really am.
The worst was last season. Do you remember last season? From memory, so someone will need to correct me. Was it not only the Championship last season did not have five subs? Every other league in Scotland did, but the Championship didn't. Which is that seemed really strange. Alan, you're for it. You've heard, I'm sure, the the usual counter arguments that this benefits the big teams and sort of goes against the smaller teams. Do you buy into that?
Yes, there's a, you can see that as well, because the bigger squads is going to benefit. There was my own team, Rangers, last year when you're winning 2 or 3 nothing, you can make 5 subs and get players on. So yes, there is benefits as well for being a larger team, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe have been a bit unfair doing that selective thing. You know, I read a bit of Alan Burrow's tweet talking about how Motherwell voted against it. I don't think he's particularly furious about it. Or, you know, he does say, that said, it's a democracy. I totally accept the will of the majority of our fellow Premiership clubs and we'll get on with it. You know, I did miss that quite crucial qualifier out, Mark. I don't think this is not as contentious, I don't think, as bringing as the debate that was had about moving the winter break.
No, of course not. I wonder why did we revert back to the 3 substitutes at the start of the season? Because I'm pretty sure everybody had an idea that this season might be disrupted. When we finished last season and we were moving into this season and fans were back, I think we all understood that we were never out of the woods with the COVID situation, that things could change. So I just wonder why we reverted back. And I wonder if that will be in the thinking for going forward. Now that we've went to 5, will it stay at 5 for a prolonged period of time? And I'm talking into next season. Because when this virus is still going through the country, it's still affecting squads, it's, you know, taking a lot out of teams, then for me it makes sense to keep that rule in place.
As a Rangers fan, Alan, what are you making of this transfer window? It started with a bang, didn't it? There was so much said about Nathan Patterson. He obviously went for big money. James Sands came in. Where are you now? Have Rangers done their business? Will John Souter be added in the coming days?
Very happy so far to get that price for Nathan Patterson, who is still relatively young and still inexperienced. So to get that money, I think is excellent. And no, I think there'll be another couple of signings. I think Souter will be one, who is a very good defender. But I think there'll be another couple, hopefully, at the club.
It certainly looks like. How can we keep softening this up in case it changes? Because football's weird like that. We thought Riley McGree was going to Celtic. Certainly looks like Rangers' move for John Souter is getting closer. Mark Wilson,
yeah.
I think we can say that safely. So that's one thing, the pre-contract. And then, of course, much like Tony Watt or anyone else, it then becomes, okay, great, he's a good player or he's not, whatever way you feel about it. I think most people clearly do think he's a very good player. And does it then happen now?
Well, that's the thing. It's the figure that the two clubs will have to come to, because I think if your Hearts and Robbie Nielsen, you have to do what's best for Hearts. John Souter, top professional. If he has to stay at Hearts, he certainly won't let Hearts down, and Robbie Nielsen will know that. So he's got his own ambitions of finishing third in the table. He wants to keep his best players. So if Rangers want to take him just now to improve their chances of retaining the title, then they're going to have to pay a decent sum of money, and I'm not meaning millions, but they aren't going to get them for pennies in January. They'll have to come up with something that suits Hearts, that allows Hearts then to reinvest that in the position that they're losing out in.
I think you'll be in the building by the end of the window, Gordon.
So it's not only the pre-contract is happening, it's getting...
Yeah. I think just reading, I know that obviously you don't believe everything you read, but just you're getting the gist of things that it looks like he favours going to Ibrox. I think it's a fantastic bit of business if he does. And like Tony Watt, I think that there's no point, John Souter, and I take on board Mark talking about terrific professional and, you know, he'll give his all for Hearts. So would Tony Watt. But the minute Tony Watt was signed a pre-contract with Dundee United, he found himself on the bench. And you can understand Motherwell's situation and that. I think that business will be done as well. So if he's going to go and sign a pre-contract, especially with a team in his own league like Rangers, I think there can be negotiations there for a deal to be done. And I think that'd be a real good bit of business.
Gary Caldwell's a good one to speak to on this, Gordon. You probably know his story. Yeah, at Hibs when he came to Celtic, similar position. Signed a pre-contract and he got a rough ride from the Hibs fan. I think it was his first game back and he made a mistake. I'm pretty sure Hibs fan got on his back. So it can become a difficult environment when you sign a pre-contract for a rival club. So it would be in everybody's interest, I think, to get the deal done. But I don't think Robbie Nielsen will accept hardly anything for him.
Or do you leave him where he is until the 27th of January, and that way he's played against Celtic the night before?
No.
Yeah, it'd be good tactic. Would it be a good tactic? I still think, I said earlier, I still think that by the time they get to the February game, the points. But it's all about the players as well. I think you've got to be fair. Yeah, Mark's saying about, you know, Robbie Nielsen do his best for Hearts. Of course he will. That's his job, and Hearts will look after themselves. But I just think that if Rangers and Hearts can come to a bit of common sense, get the business done, if the boy's going to go to Rangers, which I think he will, I'm confident he will be in the building by the end of the transfer window.
Alan, it was lovely to speak to you. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to join in with Alan if you're agreeing or disagreeing with what you have heard so far. We're talking five subs. Are you for that? Are you against it? We've also been hearing from Ange Postecoglou saying, as things stand, that is Celtic's business done. Of course, that may change, and we were wondering if you're happy with that, Celtic fans. Are you content with what's been done, or would you prefer to add something else before the end of the window? Do you know what I really liked today, that really stood out for me, because I thought we could have all manner of fun in this. Scottish football needs to embrace this. Rangers managing director Stuart Robertson hinted that the Ibrox side might be prepared to consider hosting a behind the scenes documentary, a Netflix style Formula One, Drive to Survive, All or Nothing, that type of thing.
Great programmes.
I want your thoughts on that. Would you like to see your club do it, first and foremost? And if so, let's take it a bit further. Which clubs in Scotland would be tailor-made for that type of thing? Surely we can have a bit of fun with that next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here, and it's time for them to team up and tackle tonight's full-time teaser. It's been sent in by Stephen, who's in Rutherglen, so thank you to Stephen for sending this in. It's a very simple question, and I'll be honest, see, if I was to tackle this, I think I'd be miles off this. It's just not something I've kept in touch with this season, for whatever reason. Can you name 10 players who've got 8 or more English Premier League goals this season?
Oh,
I've got the answers in front of me. Maybe
just
half of them.
10 players. No Scottish players, English players, just 10 players.
You think there's a possibility that there are 10 Scottish players with 8 goals or
Mane
more in the English Premier League?
Mane, Salah, Kane.
Right, hold on, steady. Right, Sane, yes. Mane, I've gone and combined the two.
Mane, Sally.
I've created a superhero between the two.
Right.
Mane and Salah, yeah, Salah.
Kane, no.
No,
he's not won.
He's not having a great season in front of goal, is he? Obviously.
What about Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Big Ron. Yeah.
Okay, one more guess from you, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
I will go.
Go someday. Whatever you do.
Shea Adams.
No.
I was going to do that one. I'm delighted you just
Right, we'll leave it there. Stephen in Rutherglen says, can you name the 10 players who've got 8
Lukaku.
Or more
Lukaku.
No 10 players who've got 8 or more
Havertz.
No, I'll finish the question this time. 10 players who've got 8 or more English Premier League goals so far this season. You've got Mane, Salah and Cristiano
Vardy, no?
Ronaldo. Yes. Well, I said we would leave it there, but never mind. Simple instructions, you don't do them. Fulltime at Clyde1.com, by the way, if you want to hear your question used on the show. No offence to Stephen and Rutherglen, that's just a very straightforward one. Doesn't require a great deal of research or imagination, but you can send over whatever you want. That's the address, fulltime at Clyde1.com. Right, just for a bit of fun, we can turn it into something more serious if you want. I noticed some interesting comments from Rangers managing director Stuart Robertson today, speaking to The Athletic. He was hinting that the Ibrox club could be considering, or would be prepared perhaps to consider, hosting a behind the scenes documentary, because they knocked back offers to dramatise their title season from last year. Now, these things have become the staple of streaming platforms, haven't they? We mentioned Formula One, Drive to Survive. Netflix. I think Gordon, one for you. You've seen the PGA Tour is about to do something similar for the golf.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I absolutely
love it. You've got the All or Nothing ones. You've got the Sunderland Till I Die.
Formula One one is fantastic.
Yeah. Listen, the fans can tell us. If would you like your own team to do this, or does it just set you up for potential embarrassment?
I would like to supporters, I think, would like to see what goes on day to day and what goes on behind the scenes. I really do, Gordon. It's so interesting.
But think about it, right? If you're it's easy for us to say, if you're a Sunderland fan and you have to sit and watch that guy obsess over what nightclub music he wants for the players walking out.
he was something else, that boy.
Neutrals find that if that's your own club, you're gutted at that.
Yeah, but it gives you an insight to what your club's what all about and what you're buying into.
I don't think there's much downsides to it, I must say.
No,
I really don't. I think the fans would be fascinated with it. I think fans pay a lot of money to go and support their team, and I think just every so often, often they should get the option to see a brief glimpse behind the scenes. Now,
don't get me wrong, I know club TV, you know, does that to an extent, but it's maybe not the kind of works bit. And all.
And in years gone by, when I was playing, you had the open days at training where the fans would come in and see you for one day training. But imagine that.
Your Rangers did that recently, didn't they?
Yeah. But imagine having that access in the dressing room, behind the scenes, upstairs in the boardroom. I think it would be.
It's just when you're
not like to see Motherwell's sort of a behind. Well, I know because I go and watch her training most days.
No, that's the thing. I think in theory, yes. Until you then find out that the club you love or what you like to think they do great things behind the scenes, and you maybe get some nasty surprises. Like I said, I just can't shake the feeling. If I was a Sunderland fan, there are bits of that I would have absolutely detested.
I just think it's
maybe it depends where the club is in terms of. In a good place, bad
but
place.
I think the majority of fans will be interested in the ones phoning here and there. I think they would love to see that.
Really, and the argument would be if it was Rangers or Celtic, that the pressure's too great in these teams to show glimpses behind the scenes. But you only need to look at down south. Man City doing it. Man City one was incredible, and the access it allowed in Tottenham, obviously with Mourinho going through a full changeover, they allowed it. So why? You know, why can't our teams allow that? And of course, it comes with its financial benefits. I'm sure there'd be a hefty pay packet for whoever decides to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was asking for your suggestions. Which club, first of all, would you want your own team to do it? Would you be watching it through the cracks in your fingers, or would you be all in favour of your team doing it? And what teams in Scottish football would make for a good documentary series? I think Celtic and Rangers, obviously, because there's just so much drama, intensity, pressure, rivalry, storylines everywhere. But every club here's got a great story, I think. And Mark Sloan makes a great point. Transitioning from amateur to professional, Queen's Park are ideal for a Netflix documentary.
Set up well.
Wouldn't
just
they
now
be?
Yeah.
This amateur club who plays at the National Stadium in front of not very many fans, and then the stadium gets bought and they move, and that's not done yet. So they're playing at Firhill.
Yeah.
And they've gone and got a head of recruitment or a sporting director from Alkmaar.
It's the start of our journey.
I like that.
So yeah, any TV companies out there, get in just now. You can release the finished article when they eventually get to the Premiership, and you've got a documentary that everybody would watch. I would like to see, if you could go back in time, Daz's 94 Wraith Rovers team documentary.
I think that's an entirely different type of TV.
That would be an 18. You wouldn't be able to let the kids watch it.
I'll tell you what, how times have changed. In those days, Gordon, I used to get sent thongs. Obviously a bit uncomfortable, but now I get sent plastic ones.
I did not see that coming. Let's move on, please, mic's off. Brian is obviously a glutton for punishment because Brian's a Falkirk fan, and he says it would have been very entertaining to have a documentary at Falkirk over the last 4 years. Imagine that scene. That was a statement, not a question, all that, the Q&A with the proper cameras there. Yeah. That would have been quite something.
I'm thinking of other clubs that have been in the news for different reasons.
It's just so much drama in Scottish football over the past couple of years.
BBC did a Hearts one, and
it was a bit
It was the at the time, if you know, because the storylines were good, because it was the, you know, the COVID backdrop and the vote and relegated and so on.
Nobody can do it like the big hitters, like Amazon and Netflix. Mm. Those have got it down to a T. Those have got the money to invest in proper footage 24 hours a day. That's what you need to make these documentaries so watchable.
What about one at Brechin? The slide from the Championship to the Highland League within the space of about four seasons or whatever.
Well, I'm available if there's any hefty contract offers out there from the big TV companies. I'll tell the story.
How not to win a game.
How not to.
That'd be the sort of the subheading.
Yeah.
Do you know what scene would have been made great viewing for a Netflix Brechin documentary?
What's that?
Tell us one more time. So the cameras are there, it's high definition, close up in the boardroom on the night where you get the fancy electronic advertising boards up.
Remember that? See the rubbish I had to put all in. You know, get the electronic board with a rat running along.
Because the context is fans can't get in, yeah. Everyone's exploring streaming options, pay-per-view TV. Can you make money? So you guys at Brechin go and get the fancy along the hedge, the advertising boards. But then what happened? Tell us about the cameras and
So the camera, it was installed. No cameraman. It followed the ball. It was programmed to follow a moving thing.
What is it called? Pixelate or something? And
something
it was meant
to
pixelate, follow.
Yeah, follow
so
the ball.
So it just followed the ball around.
It's programmed to follow the ball. And unfortunately, somebody put a rat on the electronic scoreboard that was running the full length of the pitch, and the camera just started following that. I must say it was better than the action we were serving up in the pitch. It was moving faster than some of the players.
I'll sign that.
So again, if we're thinking Netflix here, everyone's really chuffed. Everyone's really chuffed. Oh, I've lost it. Everyone's chuffed about this big money making enterprise.
Gordon, I cannot believe when they told me we had the electronic
reaction.
We're getting up in the world here.
What's the reaction afterwards?
Well, after that, someone said to me, I said, can I get the footage? And they says, we've got a problem. So they didn't tell me at the time what the problem was. And then they told me the supporters who had subscribed to this had a problem downloading it. It was a couple of days later. They said the problem was a rat. And I said, wait, it showed me. I thought, this is ridiculous. Between that and Davey turning up trying to get in the team,
that's
my time was numbered.
Brechin could have been the place.
I want to watch that. Get Netflix. And then him selling his tracksuit in a
charity shop. That's how it ends.
That's
the closing scene. It fades to black and white. Sad piano music as Mark Wilson goes to Bernardo's on Great Western Road and hands in his Brechin
tracksuit. Even if I was in it, I would watch it. Sounds good.
This is where it's come.
Roberto's got a great shout. Documentary on Arbroath. Dick Campbell, comedy gold.
Oh, that would be good. You need the old bleep machine on that though, would you not?
Ah, surely that's the point. It's no holds barred.
No holds barred. Yeah, see all. That would be good. Yeah, but I think you're right. A club that's on the up, a real project. But certainly the drama's here in Scottish football. I'd love to see it. I would.
Be something else, wouldn't it? That's some good suggestions so far, and I like it. That's why our listeners are great at these things, because it's so easy to, of course, who wouldn't watch a Celtic or Rangers one with all the drama that goes on? But so many stories down there. Unbelievable.
I think the Brechin or Arbroath will do for me. And watching them getting sacked, that would be the highlight for me.
Oi.
Dismissed. I told you we're no longer wanted.
It was a mutual agreement between the board. I wasn't involved in the agreement. I just get told.
The rat story is outrageous. It really is, because there was the one at Inverness where it kept following the linesman's bald head.
That was great.
It was mistaking that for the ball. Yeah.
That's right. I do remember. Yeah. I'll tell you what, they could have made one at Raith Rovers when I was a manager there with the French lads.
Black and white in your day, though, wouldn't it?
We had Gordon Brown about the club.
That's
and
true.
All, yeah.
Gordon, what? He's a future prime minister in your office.
What was he doing?
Was he
speaking to you?
Can you imagine that meeting of minds?
Hold on a minute. How long have we got here? What were you and Gordon Brown talking about?
I've no idea. Right, he came in my office before a game.
Did he know who you were?
I didn't know who he was. Never mind did he know who
he's
I was.
He's a Wraith fan. He's going to know who the Dazzler is.
And he's standing there, and there's people all around the corridors, and he's having a chat away, and I'm looking, going, oh, come on, I've got a team talk to do here. Yeah, and all the French lads, and Elka brought these French boys in. Honestly, I could write a book about these boys.
He's told me the story.
See, honestly, see, like, I get, like, getting caught up in politics is not everyone's bag. That's fine. He takes it to a new level. So I would love to have seen this. You should have heard his sort of assessment of Boris Johnson, Partygate, and all that the other day when we were travelling in.
And that'd be quite something, because it's something you never really talk about. I've never heard you talking about that situation. So, yeah, I'd like to hear those.
Anyway, let's bring in Willie, who's in Parkhead. What's on your mind tonight, Willie?
Not a lot. But what I'm waiting for, my new signings, if they hit the ground running, we'll not have to worry about. We'll have nothing to worry about. If we do a Kyogo, we'll have nothing to worry about. All these new boys, and that's my opinion on it. So hopefully,
yeah,
they can do a bit of hit the ground running, and we'll be fine.
So the sort of theme, if you like, earlier from Ange Postecoglou was that's it as it stands, that the business is done. So you're happy with that? You think good to go for the second half of the season? Yeah,
definitely. And then we've got the other window to look forward to if we need it. So we'll look forward to that if we need it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess after summer, Mark, most people said, Celtic's rebuild wasn't going to happen in one window.
Yeah,
is it going to happen too? Is it still more than that? Surely,
I think you need more than that. I think Daz said it right at the start. It's going to take a few windows to have a fair crack at the whip. Got to say, in his first window, he's done pretty well in terms of the signings he made with Joe Hart and Kyogo. Obviously, Jota came in and Juranovic. They've all taken to the club pretty well. Second window, done his business early, and like Willie says there, the big test is these games coming up. So the big test will be, or the first glimpse will be in Monday night. Who plays? You know, do these guys who have come into the club, do they go into Ange Postecoglou's thinking right away to go into the squad? That will be the interesting thing. I think everybody will be looking forward to seeing the team selection. But it will take a bit of time. You know, wherever he's went, it's taken him time to build a squad, and it's only fair he gets that time. As long as things don't go disastrous, then I think the Celtic fans will always have faith.
To be fair, he has been backed, Gordon. There's no doubt about that. I just wonder if sometimes it's easy to forget that the success rate from recruitment is not always that high, even for good, successful teams. If you want to stick with Celtic, go back to that quadruple, treble winning, all-conquering team. Still made loads of dud signings, because it's just, it's impossible to get them all right. At the moment, Steven Gerrard came in and built, and Rangers did well in Europe, and it culminated in a league win, an undefeated league win, in a very good place. You still don't get them all right. Jack Simpson is probably going to leave. Is John Lundstrom going to leave? Not sure. Does the new manager fancy him? There was another example that's just dropped straight out of my head from recent times. So you just can't get them all right. So even if you say, oh yeah, Ange has been backed, he's brought in X players, they just are not all going to work, are they? It can't happen.
No, 100%. But the one thing I like about Celtic and Postecoglou is most of these signings he knows very well. It's his signings, Gordon. A lot of clubs have this structure now that it comes from above, the signings, the coach get handed them. You know, it might not be their first pick, but Postecoglou's had a big say in this. So he knows these players inside out. You're right, they could fit into Scottish football. Kyogo Jota has been absolutely brilliant. Starfelt, for me, is taking his time. I think he's getting better all the time. So there'll be players that will hit the ground running. There'll be other players that in about 3 or 4 weeks will have fans on from all clubs saying, look, he wasn't what we thought he was going to be. But I think you've got to give everybody that time. I think the transfer window has been a good one for most clubs, and I'm just excited to see what happens on Monday.
I think it goes without saying, Mark, stating the obvious, it's just about getting more right than you get wrong, or much more right than you get wrong. Did anyone at the time really care that, I don't know, Doris de Vries didn't work out with Celtic? Obviously not, when you're holding trophies at the end of the season. Did any Rangers fans feel critical of the club because Jack Simpson hasn't really worked out? No, I don't think so. If you get more right than you get wrong, and are significantly more right than you get wrong then. Fair
yeah,
enough.
You're doing pretty well, but the ones you get right, I think, have to make a lasting impression as well. You know, it's the difference between getting guys right who do a decent job or actual stars. Kyogo, obviously, because he's the most recent one, 6 months. Ange Postecoglou's got that pretty bang on, and he'll be hoping the other three can make an impact as much as Kyogo has done. But that's very difficult, you're right, very difficult to get right. There will always be players who fall by the wayside, and that's what I guess makes it exciting. When the league kicks back off, all the fans will be going along looking for their new signings to see how they adapt in the early stages of the season here.
Anything else you want to get off your chest, Willie, before we wish you good night?
Yep. What it is, I'd like to say well done to the boys for Capital for what they're doing to help all these gentlemen. And what's happening in the east end of Glasgow, there's a wee company called Men's Health.
Right.
They're doing the same kind of thing. So what Men's Health are doing, we've done walks, we've done groups, we've done Zoom mingles, and it's helped 38 families, and the amount of people who's helped me, mental health has been unbelievable. And I'd like a big thank you to a boy called Jim Malcolmson from Men's Health. It's a boy who's organised everything. And as I say, what he done, he raised funds for 84 kids to get a voucher for Christmas. And I think it's well done to him. So a big thank you from everybody in the groups.
Brilliant, Willie. I can hear it means a lot to you. Thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for sharing it. Always like to hear, you know, the power that can be done in football and communities. And you're right, we had the Morton community on recently, and it's great to hear other people doing such good work. Look after yourself, Willie. Hopefully we'll speak soon.
Cheers, mate.
Good man. That was Willie in Parkhead. 0141 951 1025. Right, so can you name me the 10 players with 8 or more English Premier League goals so far this season? You've got Mane, Salah, Ronaldo, Vardy,
Antonio West Ham.
Good shout.
Yeah, well done.
I'll tell you, I think one's just passed there. The boy is playing with Liverpool. Is it Jota?
Yep, he's got 10. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And Twitter is at Clyde SSB. We are also asking you for, well, you two in here, for your answers to this full-time teaser. And for you, the listener, we want your questions. That's the way it works in the full-time teaser. You send the questions in and we try and catch the pundits out with the answers. So fulltime at Clyde1.com if that's the kind of thing that floats your boat. Stephen in Rutherglen tonight wants you to name 10 players who've got 8 or more English Premier League goals this season. Mane, Salah, Ronaldo, Vardy, Antonio, Jota.
It's got to be a Man City one in there, surely.
Well, I'd say Gundogan.
Sterling.
He's only got 7.
Who?
Sterling.
Gundogan.
No.
Right.
I don't know what you just called him, but anyway.
I'm going to go down. I look at Crystal Palace. Gallagher, the boy, Connor, he scored a few.
6.
Saha.
Wait, what are you looking at Crystal Palace for?
Because they've scored goals. Saha?
No.
No?
No.
Benteke?
No, what is this obsession with Crystal Palace?
I don't know, I'm working my way around about the London clubs. What okay. about
Jesus, no one, no.
Nope.
What about he plays with Newcastle. Callum Wilson?
No.
What?
I'm thinking centre forward.
Who else for West Ham? West Ham, they scored a few. No.
Antonio's the only one.
We've not got a Man City one.
We've not got a Chelsea one.
Who says
it's
that?
Be
who
Chelsea.
Who says?
It's got to be a Chelsea one. Got to be.
They could just Mason be spreading Mount. Their goals. He's got 7.
Oh, good try.
Telling you. Right, let's bring in Stephen in Cambus Lang, who is a Motherwell fan. What is on your mind as a Motherwell fan, Stephen? Stephen, can you hear us? Say that again? No, absolutely not, because you're too smart for these two.
Hello?
Can you hear us okay?
Doesn't sound too smart for
us. What, Kaku one?
No, he's not. Well, I'm glad you got it wrong.
Said that half hour ago, Stephen.
Well done, Stephen.
Sure in, Stephen.
Don't you listen to them, Stephen. Right, what's your point tonight?
I just want to say how well Graham Alexander's done. He's come in, he's finally deserved his contract. I think that fans can often fuck with the phone up to complain about managers, so I thought I'd come up and give somebody a bit of credit for the change. He's got the third highest point tally for us in the league. The win percentage is in the high 40s. And I will, because I've gone from strength to strength. So I just wanted to say well done to Graham, really.
Yeah, some very fair points made. What does that say, Stephen, about the level of confidence and the appreciation for the job that he's done, given that long contract?
Well, I think it just shows you that he's enjoying his time at the club and that the club are enjoying having him there. I mean, he gets sacked at Salford when he was unbeaten, which I think Gary Neville's come out and said in Sky Sports that he made a referral that he'd sacked a manager that he shouldn't have sacked. I'm assuming he was referring to Liam Alexander when he said that. So, thankfully, Salford's loss has been again. And I'm that confident with the football that we're playing and the players that he's brought in that if he stays for the duration of the contract, I will get to see Motherwell win a cup in the next, and within the duration of this contract.
It's a big statement. What did you make of the contract, Gordon?
Well deserved, I think, I've got to say. We heard Alan Burrows talking about it the other night in the show. He seems to think that Alexander's a fit for Motherwell. He likes the way he goes about his business. He's obviously getting the results. Gordon, as Stephen said there, the fans are happy with the style of football. He's had his ups and downs at the beginning, but he's won most of them over now. I think Motherwell are a very attractive side to watch, very decent side, and it's getting better and better, so I think it was well rewarded.
Stats can be misleading sometimes, Mark, but I'm not sure you can argue with many of them. A calendar year is a good body of work. It's 12 months, third highest points total in the country, behind the obvious big two. As Stephen says, it's 47, something like that, percent win percentage.
Yeah, I think he's done a remarkable job. I really do. You think before he took over, Motherwell certainly had their ups and downs. They had their highs in previous years, went through a lull. Graham Alexander comes in. I thought he transformed the club. Yet Stephen is right. He still took a fair bit of stick from some sections of the Motherwell support. And you only have to look at his record, as you say. You pointed at the points tally. And where he's sitting right now in the league, sandwiched between Hearts and Hibs, I think if you're a Motherwell fan, you've got to be delighted with that. It's a big statement Stephen makes about a cup win. Is that unrealistic? Well, probably not. I mean, when you look at Motherwell in the past, in the last, 10 years, how they've done in cup competitions, it's not that far.
Yeah, we've lost all the finals.
But you've always got to hope a cup. You look at St Johnston, they won a double and they're sitting bottom of the league.
Stephen, 2.5 weeks left of the window. Do we see Tony Watt in a Motherwell strip again?
I don't think so. I think there was only 500 fans in. And the last game we were at Boxing Day, you could audibly hear some of the stick that he was getting there. I don't think that his head will be in it, particularly with the stick that he's getting. And in terms of him leaving, he's got every right to go and make himself more money, right? Because any is in any famous job would do the same thing. But where I don't think he's helped himself is pointing to the badge, saying that he's the happiest he's been at a club. And then it looks very much like Motherwell supporters, despite the higher finances that he'll be getting. It's kind of a sideways step and a slap in the face after his comment, to be honest.
What do you make of that?
I think at the time Tony loved Motherwell. He had a great time there, and I think Motherwell fans loved him as well. I'm sad to hear that the 500 fans, I'm not saying the full 500 fans, but some of them were given. Tony Watt's been terrific. Stephen's right. It's a short-lived career, this. You've got to earn as much money as you can. He's been given a good contract at Dundee United. I wish him all the best. I've got a lot of time for Tony Watt. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's a fantastic guy, and I hope he does well at Dundee United.
The beauty of football, though, Mark, is it is like any other job in some respects, and it's also not like any other job, and there's so much emotion attached when you've got a fan base. Stephen is acknowledging, of course, go and make yourself more money. Absolutely fine. But you don't have to like it. And Stephen's referencing, you know, pointing to the badge, or I think there was a couple of sort of pretend signing of contract type celebrations going on before. That's the bit that stings.
Well, it does sting. But negotiations were ongoing then. He may have thought he was going to stay at Motherwell. An offer would have came that would have kept him, which didn't. I don't agree with this notion that if a player says he loves the club and then he leaves that club, that he automatically doesn't love the club and he's been lying all along. Tony Watt can still go to Dundee United and still play for Dundee United, but he can still look at Motherwell fondly and love the club.
Do you disagree with that, Stephen?
No, I totally get that, but you can love the club, but I just think maybe saying it publicly, you know how fickle football fans can be. He's opening himself up to that stick for doing that. Whereas if he just keeps his mouth shut and he goes, well, fair enough, he wants to move for more money, which everybody's got the right to do. And see, to be honest, if he goes to Dundee United and does well, fair play to him, because that means get him in the Scotland squad, and I want to see Scotland do well as well. So,
very magnanimous, so Steve, in the end,
very honest. Yeah, I would love a player to come out like Tony Watt and say, look, I love Motherwell, however, I'm getting X amount times my money here. Doesn't mean I don't love Motherwell, but I need to look after myself because I'm getting in the twilight years.
Is that Stephen's point that we put that to Stephen? He's saying he's fine to love it, but it was the impression that was given off is what's annoyed Stephen.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Tony may not have known what was on the table for Dundee United, so his intentions may have been, I'm signing for Motherwell. Yeah. However, things happen very quickly in football, and players are presented things out the blue sometimes, and I guess that's what's happened with Tony.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you, Stephen. It was nice to hear from you, Stephen, and Cambus Lang, a Motherwell fan, on 01419511025. And that is just about it. I think we will round off tonight's teaser then. Let's see if you can come up with the remaining answers. 10 players who've got 8 or more English Premier League goals this season. Mane, Salah, Ronaldo, Vardy, Antonio Jota. 4 to get.
Long.
Nope.
Ings.
Nope.
Chris Wood.
Nope.
Bought him for 25. Got to buy him for a goal score. Aubameyang.
Yeah, you are struggling. What about Arsenal?
Who did you say there?
Aubameyang.
All right.
Yeah, you're right team. But come on, he's getting notoriously low goals. Smith Rowe, yes.
Yeah, got that one.
Yep. Okay, well done.
Who another else? Arsenal one?
No.
Right, Man City.
No, believe it or not.
Man United.
Also no. You've got Ronaldo. It's got to be, for goodness sake, you're just going through the clubs here.
Yeah. Tottenham.
Yes.
Song.
Tottenham.
Song.
Son. Yeah.
Arvo Song. I call him Song.
Yeah, okay. How many have we got?
How many is that?
Two to get. Oh, these are you'll never get these.
Okay, then.
Play for Brighton.
Leeds.
Rafinha,
well done. Yeah. And Watford.
I don't know.
Dini.
Looks sort of like that. Emmanuel Dennis.
Never heard him.
No chance.
No, thank you.
That was a tough one.
There we go. Thank you, Mark Wilson. Gordon DL, thank you for all your calls and your tweets and your company. We will be back tomorrow night from 6. Hugh Keevans, Kenny Miller. What will tomorrow bring? Hopefully some more transfer news. I've got a feeling it could be a busy day tomorrow. Basing it on not a great deal, but let's hope for the best. We'll see you at 6 tomorrow. And Callum Gallagher is up next.